Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Open up your Bibles, if you would, to the epistle of the church to Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I tell you what's on my heart. The Lord is wanting to close out this year and start us out the next few weeks in the coming year for us to get a revelation that put your finger on your heart and say, I'm just like Jesus. Now, when we say that, our mind wants to argue with that. Our body wants to contradict that because, you know, if we had a mirror here, we could walk up to that mirror and we could look at ourselves in the natural and say, I don't see Jesus. Come on, in the natural. Or we can examine our mind. And our mind, we know what we think. We know how we feel about certain situations. And that is a hindrance and a limit to what God can do in us and through us. Amen? Because here's what the Spirit of God said. He asked me this question. He said, why do you think so many is struggling in the church today? And it was one of those moments, Brother Coy, like you were talking about with Isaiah 6. You know, he saw the glory of God and it changed his whole attitude. But when God asked us a question, He wants to present us with a challenge of change. Amen? And the reason why so many are struggling is because we're doing things like the world does it, in the sense that we're looking at ourselves in the natural, in our body, and in our mind. Well, you and I, we have got to look in the Spirit. Amen? The Bible says in Galatians, mark down in your Bible and you read it when you get home, Galatians 5, 16, 17, and 18. That's your victory. If you walk in the Spirit, you shall not, verse 16, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, that's why the devil wants to keep us in either in our flesh or in our soul. Come on, your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. Because if he can keep us there, he can defeat us every time. But you're not going to be defeated, amen? Because you're going to take the Word of God and let it have the first place in your spirit. Amen? When it's first place in your spirit, it renews your soul and it crucifies your flesh. Amen? Okay. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse number 17. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 17. We're going to be just like Jesus. Amen? Come on, this coming year, we're going to do the works of the Lord. But you've got to be a determined disciple. Write that on the table of your heart and say, make that confession. I am a determined disciple. Amen? All right. This I say, Paul writing by the Spirit of God, he says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. In other words, don't walk like an unbeliever, like the world walks. Walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity, in the transience of the mind. He said, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness, the hardness, the callousness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over into lavishness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old behavior, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. How do we do that? Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Brother Donnie, would you pray? Yes. Yes.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Donnie. Thank you so much for honoring the Word. Hallelujah. So, in these verses of Scripture, keep them marked. We'll be looking at them. But I want us to break some things down and pull out of these verses some truths this morning that I think that will help us to become a determined disciple. You know, you've got to make your mind up who you are according to the Word of God, not according to anything else. I've got to make my mind up. I've got to let the Word have the final say in my life. Amen? And notice, let's pull from this verse 17 again. He said, "This I say therefore, and I testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity or the transcendence of their mind." Don't, you know, our minds thinks a lot of things. And our minds, you know, vanity is emptiness. It's uselessness. Your mind is always changing. Because, see, you and I, as we walk in this world, we're always processing information. You're looking at situations. You're looking at circumstances. And you're evaluating. And you have to do that. But when it comes down to the final say of everything about your life and my life, it's got to be, "Thus saith the Word of God." It's got to be the Lord. Amen? Because the Word of God changes you. The Word of God changes your situation. Now, in the coming weeks, we're going to look at some things that will help us so much. You've got to believe that when you got born again, that the DNA of Jesus Christ come inside of you. Because Peter said that you were being born again by the incorruptible seed, the Word of God. Amen? And that brought the DNA inside of you. And so inside of me is everything this Bible has promised me through Jesus Christ. And see, the devil wants to try to convince us that I've got to be good enough to receive it. I've got to do a certain work to receive it. I've got to be in this mindset or that mindset. My mindset has to be, no, God gave me Jesus. And because I have received Jesus, inside of me, Colossians 2, inside of you is the fullness of the Godhead. You don't have to look around. You have to look inside and look to Jesus. And if you look to Him, the Word, it'll bring the clarity of who you are and what you possess. Amen? And so let's see some things. Your mind will determine how well you renew your soul, renew your mind, will determine your success in this life or not. See, I spent a lot of years, and I'm on my way to heaven, thank God. But you know what? I'm struggling in a lot of areas because I have believed the world's word, the devil's word, over God's. And so I've got to renew my mind to what God says and see some things happen. So go with me to Matthew chapter 10. Let's see some things out of the mouth of Jesus. Now, not to take these verses out of context, here Jesus is dealing about persecution and trouble when you try to live for Him. Anybody relate? Come on, the closer you get to the Lord, the more trouble you're going to have. I'm sorry, it's the truth. You're going to have peace with God, but you're going to have trouble in the world because the devil doesn't want you to bring the message of Jesus Christ. Amen? The closer, the more that we start looking like Jesus, the more persecution is going to come. And that's what he's addressing. But this morning we're talking about being just like Jesus, being a determined disciple. Look at verse number 24. Matthew 10:24. Out of the mouth of Jesus, look what he says. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. So, in other words, Jesus says, whoever you make your master. See, we can either have Jesus Christ as our master, or we can have the devil. We can have the world. We can have money. We can have all those idols you were teaching about this morning, Brother Corey. But if we'll recognize our master as Jesus Christ, our life is going to be in and from His parameter. That's what I want, don't you? I want the boundaries of the Lord. Now notice what He says. He said in verse 25, "It is enough for the disciple that he or she," no gender intended, "it is enough for the," it's satisfactory in other words, "for the disciple that he or she be as his master and the servant as his Lord." Don't you love that? So your first bullet, write down your first point, as. I am just like Jesus. I'm as Jesus was.
I've got to be in the position where I believe God. Come on, God's talking through Jesus here to you and I by the Spirit, and He's telling us that we are just like Jesus in this earth. See, Jesus, He left all of His glory, and He come and He was born of that virgin, and He took on this flesh body just like you and I, and so He could be tempted. So He could struggle and go through all those things and overcome. That way, when you call on the name of the Lord, that victory that He won on the cross, it's yours. It's mine. Because Jesus knows how to help you in every struggle that you have. And because He knows, because He's done went through it all, He can help you and I, and we can be just like He was in this earth. Now, see, people don't want to talk about that because it challenges you. It challenges you. It challenges me. But it's time that we get challenged. It's time that we say, I'm going to take Jesus at His word, and I can improve. I can get better day by day. Amen? Because it's not a work of myself. It is a willing of the Father to bring me along to His plan in His time. Amen? Now, notice what He said. He said, if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, you know, the king of the dung, how much more shall they call them of his own household? In other words, Jesus said, be ready. The more that you are like me, the more trouble you're going to have. Now, I'm telling you this because in this coming year, as you start believing God for more and more, and you start doing more of the things that other people has laid down, they're going to look at you and they're going to judge you because it's not them, it's the devil that wants to discourage you. But you're not, like Sister Donna said in Sunday school class this morning, you're not doing anything for man. You're doing it for the Lord. And as long as we do everything that we do is unto the Lord, everything's going to work. Amen? It's going to work. So this morning I want you to see this. Out of the mouth of Jesus, He said, one more time, He said, it is satisfactory for the disciple that he be as his master. So this morning, you and I, we have believed in the heart and confessed with the mouth, Jesus Christ is our Lord and Master. So out of the mouth of Jesus, I can do what Jesus did. Amen? You can do what Jesus did. Now, we've got to renew our soul to that and bring our flesh under subjection. Now, hold your place, and let's go to 1 John chapter 4. Let's see where John the Apostle picked up on those words. And he included it in his epistle. 1 John chapter 4, look at verse number 17. 1 John 4 and 17. Herein is our love made perfect, or our love made complete, that we may have the boldness in the day of judgment. Because, notice this, because as He is, talking about the Godhead, talking about Jesus, mark it down in your Bible, because as He is, so are we in heaven. So will we be in this world. Right now. You're as Jesus because He's your master. Oh, come on now. See, the devil doesn't want you and I to believe this because he wants us to be in a place and a position where we're always begging God to do something. We're always waiting on God. Well, someday God will do this and someday God will do that. No. God finished it all 2,000 years ago on the cross at Calvary through Jesus Christ, and now He's gave you and I authority. Now, remember what we said the other night by the unction of the Spirit of God. You and I, we have the measure of faith. We need to stop asking for more faith. We need to stop asking for more power. You don't need faith. You don't need power. Because Jesus said, all power in heaven and in earth, He said, has been given to me. And He said, I give it to you. Go. When you and I, when we go in the Word of God, the power is there. When we go in the Word of God, the faith is there. We've just got to exercise our boldness. It's not ours. It's the love of God. Your love is perfected because you have the boldness. You have the assurance that God will do what He said. When He said it, He meant it. Amen? You don't have to back up. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to question. So this morning, when the Bible says that you're as Jesus, I want you to recognize that God looked at you and He said, I count you as of value, as of a worth to reflect my Son in the earth. That's pretty heavy. That's what He's saying. He's saying that I trust the Word in you. In other words, I trust my Son in you to be able to present my love to a lost and dying world. Isn't that something? Oh, just like Jesus. But we've got to be a determined disciple. A disciple means that you're a pupil. You're a learner. That's us. We qualify. But you've got to become disciplined, because a disciple is from the root word to be disciplined. You've got to discipline your mind. You've got to discipline your body. And when the devil comes against you, when your body comes against you, when your mind is raging the war about none of this stuff can be true, you've got to stand strong and say, no, God said it. He said it to me. I receive it. And so it's going to come to pass. Amen? I'm going to be the one, as Brother Corey brings up and mentions, because he wants to get it in our heart. Matthew 5, 14, 15, and 16. He wants our good works to bring God the Father glory. Because you are that light, amen, that shines into a dark world. Now notice one more time. Notice what he said. He said, herein is our love made perfect. See, we love people. And we want our love to be complete. But my love can't be complete unless I see that God can enable me, empower me to love people with His kind of love. His love is patient. His love is enduring. Come on. His love will cut through all the, excuse my language, the malarkey of this world. Amen? That's what God's love will do. And so your love is being completed because as Jesus was, Jesus could love the unlovable. He could love in trying times and hard times. And the devil wants to tell us that we can't, but we can. Amen? Now, let's see something. Go with me to John chapter 14. Out of the mouth of Jesus. You know these verses on your heart very well, but I want to apply them in this context of what we're talking about. You know what Jesus said, and starting in verse number 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But that's how you and I got saved. Amen. That's how we got born again. Now notice verse 7. Jesus said, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And henceforth you know him and have what? Seen him. In other words, Jesus said that, he said in many places, but in the Gospel of John, he said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. Because he said, I'm what? I am as my Father in the earth. In other words, Jesus is saying, if you look at me, if you look at the Christ, you're going to see the love of the Father. The plan of God. Amen? Well, now, you are God's representative. You are in Jesus. He's the head. You're the many-membered body in the earth. And so when people look to you, they can see Jesus. But we've got to believe that. And when the flesh says, oh, that's not true, you know what we're doing? We're calling God a liar. Now, we better be careful. The Apostle Paul said, let every man be a liar. Let God be true. Amen? All right, now notice this gets interesting. Verse 9. Jesus answering Philip about wanting to see the Father. And he says, have I been so long time with you, Philip, and yet thou hast not known me? He said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest then, show us the Father? You and I have got to renew our mind and bring our body under subjection to this great reality that God wants you to be the one that brings Him glory in the earth. See, the devil loves it when people put glory, like Brother Corey's teaching, on idols, elevate people. But you and I, when we do the will and the plan of God, just like Jesus, a determined disciple, we're putting the glory on God. Amen? Now, how do we do that? Look at verse number 12, one of our favorite verses. This is what Jesus did. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he or she, no gender intended, he or she that believeth on me. How many believers we got? Come on, that's us. He or she that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he or she do also, and greater works than these shall he or she do, because I go unto my Father. We've got to take that to heart. We've got to recognize and realize, just as the Father communicated to Jesus what to do, now by the Spirit of God, Jesus is going to communicate to us the will of the Father, and we're going to bring a revelation of God's will in this earth. Right now, there's a whole group of people, a whole generation, that does not think that God's relevant. They don't. They don't see the relevance of church. They don't see the importance of a God that they do not know. But I'm telling you, there is an anointing coming on the body of Christ that is going to bring a revelation, a fresh revelation of the love of God. God's not going to be a hateful God that is taught in the Old Testament. He's going to be a God of salvation, a God of love, a God of healing, a God of deliverance. Yes, judgment will have to come, sad to say. But you and I, for us, the believer, judgment is a good thing. Come on, we get to be at the judgment seat of Christ. And that's a good thing. But what we want to do is pull as many people as we can, by the leadership of the Lord, away from the great white throne judgment. We want to bring them to that same place. Amen? And so today we've got to get this in our heart. I've got to be determined that I can do what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? He went to where the problem was, and the problem was met head on. It was alleviated. You've got to believe that you are a problem solver. Because the God that is in you is going to solve the problem. See, God's got to have a vessel to work through. And you and I, we have chosen to be that vessel. Amen? And He's going to do the work. Amen? All right. Now, go with me to the Old Testament. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. How do we make this come to pass? See, it's just as He is, so are we. But we've got to see that it's where we put our attention. Well, there's a great struggle as you talk to people. Their mind is being led in so many different ways. There's so many attacks trying to get people spread thin. And so we've got to show people how important it is to concentrate on this Bible. Amen? Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 20. Proverbs 4:20. The Word of God says, my son, another better said, my child, aren't you glad that God calls us His own? That's ownership. When He puts the word my there, He says, that's my boy. That's my girl. See, God's prouder of you than what the world or the devil wants you to believe. Come on, the devil, all he can do is tell you all the things that's wrong. But God looks at you through the eyes of Jesus. And He looks at your spirit. Do you realize your spirit is absolutely perfect? That's what you fellowship with God with. Don't let this flesh keep you from fellowshipping with God. Don't let your mind keep you from fellowshipping with God. That has nothing to do with who you are. Who you are has been made perfect at the cross. The rest of it, we've got to crucify the flesh and we've got to renew the mind. Amen? My son, attend. Now, there's your word, what you're giving attention to. My son, my daughter, attend to what? My words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. What are we giving attention to? Every one of us this past week, because I know there's been a heavy attack in different areas and there's been different people that's been different, struggling with different things, where the devil has spoke lies into our hearts. And the moment that we give attention to that, we validated what was being said. Your way, my way of success to be a determined disciple is that we have to give attention to the Word of God. My child, attend. Put into practice everything that I tell you. In other words, the moment that God tells you something, no matter how unbelievable or how insignificant it may seem, do it. Do it. Put it to practice. And as you do, then you've hid that word in your heart. It's come out of your mouth. It's come out of your actions. It's become a part of who you are. And it's brought your body down. It's renewed your mind. And it's put you in a place of success. Amen? How many times has the devil showed you something or your flesh showed you something you didn't question that? I mean, I've got on a rabbit trail and found myself 2 weeks later and think, dear Lord, how did I get here? So I need to be just as quicker to do what God says. Amen? So he said, my child, attend to my words. He said, incline that ear into my singing. I love this. Don't you love it when you know, we've all watched a horse or a dog. That dog will be laying there in the sunshine, look like it's sound asleep, and you call its name, and that ear will turn up. God wants us to turn to him. Incline our ear to his sayings. See, when we do that, we're telling him that we value what he says. Don't value what the devil says to you through another individual. They don't know anything about you. All they're doing is looking at the external and they're listening to what the devil's showing them. God said that your value was worth the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's your value. And so then what you understand with your value, you put it to worth. How do you put your value to worth? You start working the Word of God. You become a determined disciple. And you start doing the works that Jesus said you could do. Amen? Which is what? Bring joy into the world. Bring love into the world. You're a vessel. All of those things is inside of you. And they can change every circumstance and every situation. Now, they have a choice to turn back or not. But you're faithful in doing what you would do. Amen? All right. He said, let not my words depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. How do we keep the Word of God in our heart? We keep saying it. The Word of God comes up in our spirit. We hear it in our spirit with our spiritual ears. And we speak it out of our mouth. When you speak it out of your mouth, it comes into your natural ears. When it comes into your natural ears, that's having to do with your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. And it starts renewing the understanding of who you are and what you can do. And as your soul comes in alignment, your mind, will, and emotions, all of a sudden your flesh becomes subject to your soul rather than your soul subject to your flesh. Come on now, this is a preaching a big church. We're talking about victory. We're talking about success. We're talking about being a determined disciple just like Jesus. We're talking about changing some things where we don't trip over the obvious. We walk in the victory. Amen? Okay. He said, my words, if you attend to them, he said, they are life unto those that find them. What did Jesus say? John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the Word. So, in other words, if I will attend to the Word of God, I can have that abundant life that Jesus promised in John 10:10. Right? But if I don't take heed to the Word of God, then Jesus told me there was a thief that wanted to steal, kill. So every situation is the choice. And so I've got to do what he said. For his words, they are excuse me, life unto those that find them. Notice this. And health to all their flesh. See, the devil wants to keep us beat down. He wants to keep us discouraged. He wants to keep us dependent upon ourselves. And the Father wants to be a part of every area of our life where we can have success like we've never had before. Amen? All right, let's look at the example of Jesus. Let's see what he gave attention to, how we can follow his example. Luke chapter 3. Notice here. Verse 21. Luke 3:21. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized, notice this, and praying. Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. Aren't you glad that Jesus is the open door? And he's in your life. Now, if Jesus said, I'm the one who opens the door, and no man can shut.
So when you got born again, Jesus, the open door, come on the throne of your heart. You have ability to go straight to the throne of grace, straight to the mercy seat, 24/7. He's unopened it. He pierced the second heaven where the devil and all of his imps are to try to stop you. You've got an open door. So don't let the devil tell you that you can't pray or you're not getting anywhere or you don't feel like you're having any success. No, you're just like Jesus, but you've got to be determined. Amen? Now notice what happens. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, upon Jesus. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son. In thee I am well pleased. All right, just like Jesus. And I'm giving my attention to what the Word says. What does the Word say? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the... Come on now. So, you're a beloved son, daughter of God. Because Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus and said, you are accepted in the beloved. So the Holy Spirit is in your life, just like in Jesus' life. And so we need to be attentive to the things that Jesus was attentive to. Turn over to the fifth chapter. Luke chapter 5. Look what Jesus did. Verse 16. Luke 5:16. And he, Jesus, withdrew himself into the wilderness and watched TV. And Jesus, he withdrew himself into the wilderness and he prayed. He prayed. So he gave himself. He was a person of prayer. Why? Because he recognized and realized that heaven was opened unto him. You and I have got to tell people. You don't know how many people I talk to and you talk to, I'm sure, that breaks their heart. They think that God can't hear them. That the devil convinced them that God doesn't love them. He's not interested in what they got to say. God wants to hear what they got to say more than anybody else in the world. He's listening for their heartbeat. And it's your job, it's my job, to be able to encourage them, amen, and to show them that the heavens opened. And if they'll just get along with God, He'll listen to them, but then He'll talk to them. Isn't that something? That Creator of the universe will talk to me. He'll talk to you. That's exciting. All right, over the sixth chapter. Jesus, he says in verse number 12, he says, and it came to pass, this is after him teaching about the Sabbath day, and it came to pass in those days that he, Jesus, went out into a mountain to what? And he continued all night in prayer to God. Now, this continued, it's a medical term, it's a medical word. You could look at it even if you would like. You know how if you're in an emergency room or something, or if you're in not the emergency room, if you're in critical care, what's it called, ICU or whatever, you know, they want somebody sitting up in situation. That's what this word means. That Jesus, I want you just to imagine this, that he sat up that night and he put on watch everybody that was in the need of care that he was going to meet that next day. And not only did he do it then, he does it now, because Hebrews chapter 5 says, he ever liveth to make intercession for you. He watches out for us. That's the kind of love that you and I is being perfected in our life that we've got to talk about. Amen? So we see that we're just like Jesus. We look at His attention where His attention was, and we place our attention in that same place. That's all we've got to do. And we do that, then we start acting like Him. We start talking like Him. We start having an expectancy. We start having a boldness. Amen? All right. Now, we've got to come in agreement. Just a couple more scriptures. Go back to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 23 this time. One of my favorite verses. I know I talk about it all the time. But Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 7. We've got to come in agreement with the Word of God. Why? The Word tells us that. Proverbs 23:7. For as he or she thinketh in his or her heart, so is he. So is her. Whatever you think, if you think you can't do it, you're done defeated before you start. But if you think that God can do it through you by Jesus Christ, amen, there's nothing that you can't do because you're willing to humble yourself and to put God's Word first. So I've got to think, I've got to see that I'm as Jesus, I've got to be attentive to that, but I've got to come in agreement with the Word of God to let the Word of God produce. See, the only time that I have missed God is because God has said something and I wouldn't agree with Him. You ever been there? God, I believe that, but I don't believe it working in me. I don't believe it working through me. So, Matthew chapter 18. Look at this. This whole deal is about restoration, this 18th chapter. It's about being as a little child and being coming back to the kingdom of God and having restoration in the body. But look what he says in Matthew 18:18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. We know these verses, but don't let that miss the point this morning. And whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on where? Earth, as touching anything that they shall ask, that shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Agreement. The power of agreement. Now, the negative side of this, and there's a lot of scriptures that have the negative, that we always turn to the positive. So in this positive, I've got to make sure that we're mindful of the negative. Anything that we agree with the devil with, see, when the devil tells you that you'll never have enough, or that you don't have something to give, you've got the greatest thing in the world to give. That's revelation of Jesus Christ. The whole world is looking for Jesus. They just don't know it. You and I, we've got to make sure we don't leave Him in the manger. Come on, we bring Him out of the manger. We let Him grow up in our lives where He can be presented to everyone else. That the tomb is empty. Amen? He's alive and well on the right hand of the Father. So right now I've got to see that I am, the Bible says I am as Jesus. I've got to give attention to that word, and then I have got to agree. Jesus said that the Father would do it. There's not a one of you under the sound of my voice that does not believe that God the Father has all power. Every one of you believe that because it's the truth. So if He has all power, and Jesus said it had nothing to do with me, other than just believing what the Bible says, He said that God, my Father, would do it. God, your Father, would do it. The pressure's on God, not you. You have no pressure whatsoever. We've got to be determined. We've got to be determined that it's what the Bible says. Amen? Now notice this. Look at this promise, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together, in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Aren't you glad that over and over, you know, the Bible says you're the 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 6, 2 Corinthians 6. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. God abides in that place. If we had time to look at that John 14 again, that abiding place is the Godhead inside of you. That's the place that Jesus prepared. Yes, there's a place in heaven, but He prepared a place in your heart when you got saved for that abiding place. Amen? And so I need to come in agreement with what the Bible says. I've got to be determined. Now, we know Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. Why does He say that? Because the devil is going to always be trying to occupy a place in your soul, your mind, will, and emotions are in your body. The devil wants to use it. Well, the great thing about it is, you can tell the devil, devil, you don't have a right to do it because I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. In other words, you've been bought
by the blood of Jesus Christ. God owns you. That's why He says, you're my child. So when the devil starts doing that, now, can we just, let's just get real for a second. Every one of us, we get tempted. Every one of us, we go through situations and struggles. And I think that's good that while Brother Corey's being led to talk, to teach about these idols, because these things are really idols. But the different things that has tripped me up, I have a hard time of being positive about things. My dad, you know, he was always so negative. And you know, if we're the things that we know that we don't necessarily understand and like in our bloodline, it can attach itself to us. It can become dominant in us. And so, you know, I've got to be very cautious. I just got to tell the Lord. I say, Lord, now you. Right now, in my mind, I am overwhelmed with negativity. I don't see any way this can turn out positive, this can turn out good. But the devil, I know he's talking, but he doesn't own my mind. He sure don't own my body. And so right now, you are my God. You are my Father. You said you'd be my potter, and I could be your clay. I need you to reshape some things in my life. I need you to help me. Show me the word that I need to agree with right now, and I'll agree with you, because you said that you would perform that word from heaven to earth where I'm at right now. That's the grace of God. Amen. And this is the grace of God that we've got to tell people, to help them get out of addictions, to help them get out of deceit, to help them get out of darkness, and don't get mad at me, but help them get out of being dumbed down. And when I say that with respect. Dumb, I mean ignorant. The word ignorant simply means not to know. You know how many things I don't know that God's given me grace in, that's helped me along and showed me how I didn't have to keep going through that same thing over and over and over? And so here is our way to teach people. They start coming into this building or into your life or into my life, we're going to be able to give them a hope. Because we're going to be able to say, I know who I am. Now, the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at different scriptures. And when we're done with this, you're going to be so confident in Jesus Christ in you. See, the world is confident in themselves. But you're going to be confident, I'm going to be confident in Jesus Christ in me, in you. And God's going to be glorified. Amen? I'll close with this thought. You know, there was some guys talking one time. They said, you know, we got to have a meeting after work. And he said, one guy said to them, why do they always want to have a meeting after work on Friday evenings? And another guy said, don't you know? And he said, no. He said, nobody argues with them. They just want out of there. They just come in agreement. So the got to make sure that we are in a place where we don't let the situation make our decisions. Come on, we get into situations and all we're thinking about is how I'm going to get out of that situation. But you and I, we've got to let the Word be the one that causes us to make decisions that changes our situations. In other words, don't wait till it's too late. There's some things in my life right now that I am really struggling hard with. Because God gave me grace for a long time, and I should have took care of them then, but I didn't do it. Now, His grace is there, but this is a whole other level that I'm having to work out, and it's my fault, and I want us to help other people to be quick. The Bible says be quick to hear, slow to speak. All I want to do is tell God my side of it. See, I don't even know my side of it. In the natural, I don't. I need to hear what the one who knows everything, the one that loves with a perfect love, I need to hear what he says. Amen? And it'll all be okay. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this time we've had with you and your word this morning. I thank you that you had exactly the right people here this morning, Lord, because I believe with all of my heart they are determined to be your disciple. They are determined to be just like you in the earth. They have lived a life
a life that has brought forth the faith of God and the reality of what faith can do, that faith meets life and the world head on. And it shows that, yes, life happens, but Jesus is the one that takes us to the true point, the real understanding of what life is all about. Lord, we thank you for it. But I ask that you would touch each one of us and draw us. Help us to be in a place and a position. If there's any contradiction in our life this morning, that we'll come in agreement with your word. And we'll let your word have the final say in our life. And we'll go forth and be all that you called us to be. We ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, would you come this morning, make yourself an altar and say, Father God, here I am. Here I am, your blood-bought, blood-washed servant. I believe your word, and I'm going to come in agreement with your word, and I'm going to let you from heaven bring to pass in my life what you have promised, what you'd have for me. We got to trust God about some things, y'all. There's some, you know, if I don't trust God, it's a sin. But you know, it don't have to stay a sin. We can give Him those things that we're struggling with, those things that we're in fear about, those things that we're anxious about. We can give them to Him and just let Him take care of them. Amen? Hallelujah.